Hello everyone, my name is Jesus Aguilar, and today we're going to talk about how you can use Azure Search with your ASP.NET website. So it's going to get interesting today. Alright, so let's talk about how you can use Azure Search with your ASP.NET website. So before we go into the details, let me just quickly provide you a quick overview of Azure Search, you know, some key components that I think are important for you to understand first, you know. So the first point that I want to make is that Azure Search is a search as a service, you know. At a very high level, you can think of it as a platform as a service offering. So what that means is that we, that is Azure, right, control the infrastructure, take ownership of the infrastructure. You can scale that infrastructure as you need to. The way you scale Azure Search is by, you know, adding new replicas to your index. You can also partition the data, right? But, you know, long story short, what is important to understand about this offering is that you have to worry about setting up servers. You have to worry about the scalability of your index to some extent. What does it mean to the infrastructure, the storage? You have to deal with all those things, you know. You just use the service, you interact with the service, and that's it. And the way you interact with the service is through a RESTful API, right? So everything that you do back and forward from your application perspective, as well as the management of your index in the context of your application, is through a RESTful API. It's through a RESTful API. And so in that context, the first thing that you need to do, I briefly mentioned about the index. So the first thing that you have to do is you need to define the schema of the index, right? And the schema basically is the definition of your data, the characteristics of your data, and how Azure Search is going to index that information so it can be discoverable to a search query, right? So the way you define that index is by providing the name of properties that you want to index for a particular document. But in addition to that, you can set some attributes for each property, right? So they have some behavior that is applicable in the context of search, right? So you can determine whether a particular property is searchable or not, right? Whether a particular property you can do an open data filter based on a particular property. Also, you can determine whether that particular property, the value of that particular property, you know, is returned as part of your search results. So you can also make that particular property a suggestion, so you can provide experiences where people are typing in the search box, and then you can see, you know, kind of suggest what they can search, or the search criteria that they can use, and many others, right? So you have a lot of flexibility. You have a lot of options that you can pursue depending on what you're trying to do, and you do that in the context of the index, right? And then once you have an index already created in Azure Search with all the properties that are applicable to your case, right, you need to perform what is called the document operations. Document operations is actually the process of uploading data or uploading the document into Azure Search so it can be indexed. So the data can become part of that index, right? And the operations that are available are, well, the CRUD operations that you would expect, right? Upload, which is equivalent to insert. Merge, which is basically, you know, assuming that there is already a document in the index, you know, we're going to merge the properties, or merge or upload, which is a combination of both. If the document is not there, it will create a document. If the document exists, it will merge it and delete, right, for the case that you want to remove some entity from the index, right? And the way you identify documents in the context of an index is by having a unique identifier, or by determining that one property is the key property, right? So from that perspective, now let's think about how we can use this new offering if we have a data-driven ASP.NET application, right? And what I mean data-driven is a typical website that has a backend that, you know, persists key information about your website, right? And there are a couple of things that we need to think about this. You know, typically data-driven ASP websites have entities. So what we need to do is index those entities, right? Also, it's very important to keep that index, or to update that index, in the order that the entities were updated. So if the first thing that you do is create an entity and then subsequently you update that entity, you want the same order to be reflected when the index is getting updated, right? So because you don't want the index to all of a sudden become out of sync with your backend, right? And also you want to control, to that point, you want to control when, you know, the index gets updated with new data, right? So in a nutshell, what you do typically in the architecture of an ASP.NET website consists of having a controller, and typically, you know, some people use the repository pattern to abstract the semantics of persistent information to a database, right? So what we need to do, you know, conceptually speaking, is capture whenever changes to entities occur, right? And the way we're going to do that in this solution is by using a class that you can download. You know, it's something that I wrote. Basically, it's going to capture whenever, you know, you're going to use that class. Basically, you're going to use that class whenever a data changes, and, you know, you're going to use that class whenever the data changes, and you want to update the index accordingly, right? And in order to maintain the order in which things occur, right, we're using the service bus queue, right? One of the unique characteristics of the service bus is that the queue actually persists the order. Right, so the order in which you submit messages to the service bus, that's the order that is going to be kept when a process is reading off the queue. Right, and to read from the queue, what we're going to do in this demo is we're going to use a web job. Web job is a really cool new offering it's part of the Azure website's offering that allows you to do a back-end batch type of processing, right? And one of the very nice features of the web job is that they come with an SDK that allows you to automatically subscribe to different data sources. And by doing that subscription, you have the ability to spin up, you know, more instances of this web job, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to create a web job that is going to be subscribed to the service bus, and whenever a new message comes from the service bus, the web job is going to spin up and it's going to execute some functions. And what that function is going to do is basically it's a document operation, right? And it's going to update the Azure search index accordingly, right? So if we receive a message indicating that it's a brand new entity, it's going to do the upload operation, which is equivalent to insert. If it is an edit, it's going to do a merge. And if it is a delete, it's going to do a delete operation, which is basically remove the document from the index. All right, so let's jump into the code, and let me show you the solution working and running. All right, so the first thing that we're going to do, we're going to define an entity, right? So what I have here is, let me walk you through what I have here very quickly. So what I have here is a regular ASP.NET MVC application, right? I created this with a regular template from Visual Studio. I also have a web job that, again, it was added as a project in Visual Studio. To Visual Studio, and then I have a reference to the library that has those two components that I mentioned earlier. One component that takes care of indexing entities into the queue, and another one that basically is a wrapper around the REST, and another one that is just a wrapper around the API search API. So let's have a create demo. So what I have here is a data entity. It's Rockband. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a CRUD operation around Rockband data. And let me add that to my project. I already have the code here written, so I'm just going to make sure that it's included in my project. And if you notice here, it's just a regular entity, right, with the properties that are part of that entity. What I have here is an attribute. It's a custom attribute that, again, is part of the library Azure Search Entity Manager. This is the helper library that I wrote that you can download. So what you can do here is you define the attributes that are applicable for the Azure Search Index, right? So you can specify the type, the name in the index, whether it's searchable, whether it's retrievable. And the second parameter is whether it's searchable or not. So this property here, ID, I wanted to make sure it's a string value as represented in the index. I want to make sure that you consider that to be the key, and I want that to be the name equal to ID, and that is the name of the property in the index, right? And I want to make sure that this particular property is not searchable, right? Because it doesn't make sense for the IDs to be part of the index, right? Similarly, I want to make sure that, you know, all the other ones have name, have, you know, a particular value, right? And also that they happen to be searchable, because those are proper elements that I want to make sure people can search upon it, right? So name, genre, and description, that is, right? So straightforward, nothing complicated. And then what we're going to do now is we're going to use the scaffolding capabilities of Visual Studio to just create the list. So what we're going to do now is we're going to scaffold all the views and the data entity framework code to write to a database or model that we just created, the Rockback model, that is. So let's do that. And our model class is the one that we just created, which should be around here, Rockman, right here. We want to create a new database context for this, and then we click OK. And then, okay, so let's rebuild the project, make sure that that happens. Sometimes you get this error because internally the scaffolding capabilities use reflection, so you need to make sure that you built the project first. So let me do that. So let's try it again. Excellent. So a couple of things that were added. Obviously, we have a new controller that essentially exposes all the actions that allow you to do GRUD operations. It also creates all the corresponding views for those operations, create, delete, details, which is the list, index, and so on, right? So let's go back to the controller here, and let's insert the code that essentially is going to take care of enqueuing changes to the entity. Here you go. So let's find. So just to recap, we need to intercept changes here, right? So the place where we need to intercept changes is whenever a new entity is created, whenever a new entity is updated, or whenever a new entity or the same entity is deleted, right? Or an entity is deleted in general. So let's do that. So the insert scenario is right here. And we want to enqueue a rock band. Entity is Rockband, right? And the action that we want to do in this case, because this, we're inserting something, is upload. Let's copy paste that code. And the next one, let's go to the update scenario, which is right here. And then what we want to do is merge. So up to this point, we have just created an entity that will have the, that has the attributes of index search. So up to this point, we have created our entity, right? And we also have created the controller. And up to this point, the entity, and we have created all this scaffolding code that allows you to interact or to persist that entity into the database, right? And we have also inserted the code that will upload, and we have also inserted the code that basically is going to enqueue those entity changes. Now, so the next thing we're going to do, let's create a user interface for, so the next thing we're going to do is let's create a user interface for the search, right? Because we want users to also search, right? And the way we're going to do that is to create, again, a new view model in this case. And I have it already created here. It's a search view model, right? So it has the criteria and it has the results. We're going to create a view for that. I already have that created, ready to go. And basically, you know, it's a razor view, straightforward, uses that view model. We're going to include that as part of the project. And a controller. The controller, what it's going to do is going to use, again, that library that I mentioned earlier that is a wrapper around the search API. And it will perform a search operation based on the criteria. And it's going to project the results into our view model. So let's include that into the project. And there you go. So let's make sure that our project now built, and we're ready to go. It looks good. Excellent. So now let's go and start working on our job, the job that is going to read from the queue and is going to perform the index operation. So that is wrong. So now we're going to do, let's work on the job, right, that is going to read from the queue and is going to perform the document operation, right? It's going to insert the document to the index. So so what we have here is, what we have here is the default code. You know, when you create a new web job, you get this code. What we're going to do here is we're going to just override this method. We're just going to change this method. So as you can see here, it already receives as a parameter a message from the queue. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to implement the part of the Azure web job that is going to update the index accordingly, right? So what we have here is a function that is going to receive a message from the service bus. And what, like I mentioned earlier, one really cool feature about the web job is that it's going to automatically manage the lifecycle of the messages for me, right? So what that means is automatically when a new message comes from the service bus, from the queue of the service bus, is going to execute this particular function, right? And if that function fails, then it's going to make sure that that message is not retrieved, or the operation is, and if that operation fails, it's going to make sure that that message doesn't get retrieved from the queue, so you can retry it and make sure that, you know, you handle that properly, right? And if it succeeds, it's actually going to remove the message from the queue. So the only thing that we need to specify here is the name of the queue, index queue manager, that is, and index queue, that's the name of our queue. And what we're going to do here is we're going to create a new instance of the Azure Search Manager, which is, again, the wrapper to the Azure Search API. Do that. We're going to await. And that's it, right? So what this method is going to do is going to check whether the index exists. And if the index doesn't exist, it will create one automatically for you based on the attributes that you specified in your entity, right? And, you know, subsequently will then perform the operation in the index that is contained in the formation of the message, right? So depending on how it was enqueued by the index manager, if it was an upload or a delete or a merge, right? It will, that the message has that information and it will perform the necessary operation against the index. So at this point, we have everything that we need to execute our code. First of all, also another point that I want to mention is that, and you can read in my blog about, you know, the configuration values, but you need to set up some configuration values, the connection strings to the service bus and the name of the index that you want to be created, the API key, and so on. You have to do this, you have to set those configurations both on the web job as well as the web config of your ASP.NET website. So now we're ready to go. Let's run this application. Also, let's run the web job. So we can do that by doing this. Here you go. The job started successfully. Now we have our application right here next to the job, so you can see how this happens real time. So now let's go to our application. We can insert a new record to the database and then capture that change. All right, so let's create a new rock band entry. And it is going to be 10. And we're going to do Pearl Jam. And this alternative road rock. And it's a great rock band. Right? You guys agree? Hope so. And you can see here, there you go. We got the new instantiation of the function, right? All right. right, so we're ready to try the application. So I have the application running here, right here. So I'm about to enter some data into our database so we can capture that change. Let me show you at the same time the web job running side by side so you can see when the actual web job receives the information from the queue. So let's do that. There you go, the web job is running. And my application is right here, so let me just move the windows around a little bit. As you can see, the job started, so let's create a new record here. Name of the band that we're going to insert is going to be Pearl Jam. Spell, and it's a great band, right? Let's do that. And here you go. So you can see here, that line that just popped up here indicated that a message was received and then, you know, obviously got processed, right? So let's edit this information and let's say it's a great band from Seattle. We should see another line right there in the console that indicates they received another message. And here you go. We just got it right here. If we go back to Azure and we look at our search service, I should be able to see that index that we just created. So right here, it is, it's loading. There it is. So I have a rock band index right here that we just created according to the schema that I specified. So now we go to the Azure portal and go to our Azure search service. Let's see what we see. So you can see here, a new index was created with a document count of equal to 1, which makes sense, which is we added one document, right? And then subsequently, we updated that document because we performed an edit operation on it. And you can see here, the schema is being defined according to the attributes of my data entity. So if I go back to my app and I perform the search, right, based on the view model and view that I added earlier. So let's do it based on the term that was part of the edit, which was the term Seattle, right? Remember that I put, I edit the entry by changing the description, and in the description I said, you know, great band from Seattle. So I'm going to use that in order to find the particular record that I just added. So let's do that. And here you go. I got the result back per jam. The name, the genre, alternative, and a great band from Seattle. So all this information was retrieved from the search Azure index, right? Why? Because we created the attributes in a way that indicates that that information will be returned with my search results. But you can manipulate that according to your specific use case, right? But certainly I wanted to showcase that capability here, and that's what you're seeing here. So hopefully this makes sense. Hopefully we will find this helpful. One last point that I want to make is that you can certainly use this process on premises, right? The website doesn't have to be hosted on Azure, right? You can host this in any provider because the communication between the Azure search system, service and your application happens via HTTPS, via the HTTP API, right? And you can even run the indexer process on some other, you know, host, whatever executable, whatever you think is applicable to your case, right? And as you can see here, just to prove that point, you know, I'm running all this information locally, but, you know, the Azure search instance, obviously, on Azure. So hopefully you find this helpful. You can go to my blog, Given to Code, and certainly, you know, download the code. You can go to my blog, Given to Code, and you can download the code and dive deeper into it. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you so much.